Hi, thanks for joining this week's podcast with Pastor James Jones of the Divergent Church. We hope you will be blessed by the message you are about to hear. If you would like some more information about the church, please feel free to reach out via email at divergentcog@aol.com or go over and check out our website, divergentcog.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you have a blessed day.
So this morning, we're going to start by talking about sanctified. Now, that's a word you don't hear a lot about today. It's unfortunate, but it's true. Sanctified. You and I are called to be sanctified. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to read the first 12 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talking about being sanctified. Now, I encourage you, church, we talked about this year. We said when we started out this year, we knew we want to, of course we want to grow the church. We want to do great things for the Lord. But this year was all about growing the individual. This year was all about growing the people of God. Because as we grow, what happens is God's going to interrupt us every now and then. God's going to send things. And what I've seen in the past, and when a church gets to a place of walking with, and I mean corporately, the whole church, I've seen it where people will come in and during worship, somebody will just Lord will say something. They'll walk over and grab somebody's shoulder and just start praying with them during worship. And whatever it is they pray, nonchalantly, not making a big scene or anything, and whatever it is they quietly say to them, that was exactly what God had for them. And that's the thing. As the individual grows and those people are scattered throughout the pews, God's going to say, hey, I can send hurting people there. Because you do realize the church is the Lord's bride, right? It's not mine, yours. We're not responsible for it. He's responsible for it. And therefore, he's not going to send a harvest to a people who don't know how to harvest, but to a people who do know how to harvest now, to a people who do know how to make disciples. God will say, I'm sending folks that way because I want more disciples. I want people to know the truth. I want people to be separate. He doesn't want to just send them in, all right, let's get them a little bit saved and hope they make it to the end. No, he wants the people to experience life and life more abundantly. And it starts with us, and then we take that life and we take that knowledge and we take that understanding and we share it with others. But we also pass it on to the next generation. Because as we've done often throughout the summer and the fall so far, we've made mention of what happened with the Pharisees. They did not start out as a self-righteous, hypocritical organization. They started out as a humble group of ministers who wanted to make sure people did not forget the word of God or the law of God or who God was and what he's done. But somewhere along the line, it became ritual, it became tradition, it just passed on, it passed on. But nobody ever quite got the heart of it anymore. Nobody connected with God. They knew a lot about him, but they didn't know him. And that's the dangerous thing in Christianity. We can know a lot about Jesus Christ, but if we don't know Jesus Christ, we've missed the most important part. So the next couple weeks, we're going to be talking about things like that. And we're going to start this morning talking about sanctified. And this may end up carrying over into 2 weeks because it took me a long time to put this sermon together. And as you know, sometimes I go long anyway. And you know, it's a... So we'll see how we go with this. There's no rush, but these are principles we're going to talk about over the next several weeks that really need to be understood and really need to be grasped and really need to be put into practice and, again, passed on as well. And something we're going to be doing, I finally got things ordered pretty well, and with the new job I'm starting Monday, we're going to be able to get back to the, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, we're going to get back to the Sunday events, so there'll be an outline in front of you. We're also going to start printing out outlines as well, so you can have information from the message, and then we're also going to be doing the weekly devotions where we'll invite people. You can do it in a group if you'd like, and again, the whole precept, the whole principle of that is growing the individual. It's for each of us to grow closer to God and become the minister that he has called you to be. You know you're a minister, right? It's not just me. Look at somebody near you and say, you're a minister. Tell them, say, be careful because I am too. Come on, you know you want to say that one. No, I'm just kidding. Let's start in 1 Thessalonians this morning talking about sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says this. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more. That principle is going to be repeated often throughout this thought of sanctified, that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. And in layman terms, that means each of you should know how to conduct yourself, should possess your own vessel, possess your own body, live your own life, conduct yourself in sanctification and honor. Verse 5, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all, as we also forewarned you and testified. Verse 7, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Here's another word you don't hear a lot about anymore. Scares people. We're going to talk about this word. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Verse 9. Now, they had something going for him here, it looks like. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase, here it is again, more and more. Verse 11, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Sanctification has its benefits. What was a credit card they used to say about American Express or something like that back in the old days, the old commercials? Membership has its privileges. That's what it was. Sanctification has its privileges. It has its benefits. But it's not easy. Here's the state where we're in. When we cannot see a clear difference between the church and the world, we reach a place of great peril. When I can't walk into a church building and instantly know there's something different, I'm not talking about just a decor or a way. If I can't see the people are different, the behavior is different, the attitude is different, the spirit is different, how we do things is different. If we've become so much like the world, then we don't have much to offer, and the world is in great peril. The people of God are to be sanctified. That is to be set apart or to be consecrated, set into holy service for God. You see, when you get saved and you come to Jesus Christ, it's not just so you can sit on a pew and say, hey, let's see how much people we can get into the building and, wow, look what we're doing, we're on our way to heaven. When you are saved, when you are brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, through the blood of Jesus Christ, through the name of Jesus Christ, when that happens, that's not a one-time incident where you say, okay, here I am, I'll stand here and wait for, you know, the heaven train to come by so I can jump on. That's not what it is. That's an invitation. Now you've come in and you're ready to do something. And you're ready to do great things for the Lord. We won't all do the same thing, but we will all do great things for God. We won't all do exactly the same things as each other. We all have different strengths, different gifts, different abilities. And God is going to bring those to light as we get closer to Him. See, that's what the sanctification process is. Being sanctified is being set apart, being consecrated, being made holy for service. See, the atmosphere is different when you're sanctified. Why? Because you're nearer to the presence of God. There's freedom. The Bible tells us where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. When you walk into a room and the Spirit of God is on you, there is liberty. When you go somewhere, there is liberty. My wife and I experienced it again Friday night. Of all places, you know, we go back to this restaurant. The other one was Baltimore, but we went in. And sure enough, it was just the two of us. We finally got away from the kids. I got this gift card for my birthday from my parents. And so we went out to dinner. No, we had Levi. But he was asleep, so it really didn't matter. It was just the two of us. And so we're sitting there, and waitress comes over, and Tia's like, what took you so guys so long? Well, we made a new friend. We've had this experience. We were just talking about it Wednesday night, but we had this experience again this past Friday, and we had been praying, God, what do you have? We know something's stirring in this church, guys. We've been seeing it for months. months. And we're like, Lord, just start. And we were praying very specifically, Lord, just start opening the gates. Just start shaking up whatever you're doing. And so we go in and we start talking to this lady and she starts talking. And before you know it, you know, we got there. I don't know what time we got there, but it was 10:30 when we were leaving there. And it was like, wow, we finished dinner like an hour ago. So, but, you know, she just kept talking and she was just drawn. She was drawn to us. And so Crystal and her had a great conversation. I shared with her as well. But here's the thing. The atmosphere is different when you are walking in sanctification. The atmosphere is different. It's not because of you. I don't want you, don't think I'm up here, oh, guys, you should be as spiritual as I am. No, be better to me, please. The atmosphere is different because of the Spirit of God. The closer we draw to Him, the closer He draws to us. And I know I've given you this illustration before, but when Peter was walking down, it says a shadow fell across the man, and he got up, who was lame, he got up. It wasn't that Peter's shadow was more anointed than anybody else's shadow. It was that the presence of God was all over Peter, and when he went, the presence of God brushed by that man. And when the presence of God is there, there's liberty, there's healing, there's freedom, there's conviction. There are things that you and I cannot do on our own, but if we have a level of discernment, we'll see, oh, God's doing something. I'm moving over here. I need to do this. I need to operate in this. I need to look into this. So the people of God are to be sanctified. Because as we are, there's an atmosphere. There's a different atmosphere. And the people are different. The people are unique. I start a new job on Monday and my last day on Friday. There's a couple guys who were there who just, they were actually in, it was awkward because they started crying. And I was like, we hardly even knew each other. I know, but you just like, it was different when you were in here. And I was like, it wasn't me, man. It wasn't me. And I had the opportunity to share with a few people while I was walking out the door. And I was like, wow, Lord, you wait till now. No, I had a chance to share with them some more along the way. But they were open. And they were like, but I was able to say, this is the difference. It's not me. It's not me. I said, it's God. God makes a difference. He illuminates. He lightens. And so everybody's like, give me your cell phone. Give me your email. Give me. I said, I'll give you the church web address, too, if you want. You can find out how to get this for yourself. You know, that'd be great. So maybe God will still open doors through that. I don't know. But here's the thing. You're different. Not you're better than everybody else. Not you look down your nose. Not you're different. Why are you different? Because you're better and more spirit? No, because you're closer to God. And because your behavior mimics that of Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what I want to do. I want to be Christian. I want to be Christ-like. So my behavior begins to mimic Him. The atmosphere is different. The individual is different. When we are sanctified, we're set apart. We're different. We're unique. We're called out to be different. We're called by God. You see, the thing about sanctification, the difference of sanctification, and I hesitate to say it because I say this sometimes when people get offended, but the false conversions we have today. And by false conversions, this is what I mean. Too many people are taught you can pray a prayer and then do whatever you want to do because God's hands are now tied. You have said, I accept you, Jesus. I am yours. I'm going to heaven. Boom. All right, I get to go do whatever I want. No, that's not how that works. That's not at all how that works. Jesus is not a get-out-of-hell-free card. That's not what that is. That's not what He came to do. There is so much more to it than that. But in this world we live in, we've said this many times, people don't want to be better, they want to feel better. Make me feel better. You know, even if I'm on the way to hell, make me feel better about it. Don't change my course. That's too much work. That's too much. Make me feel better about where I'm going. You see, as we're sanctified, it's very different than as we're just coming and praying a prayer. And even when we come to Jesus Christ, there is a process. We grow, we develop. We know more today than we did yesterday. We know tomorrow more than we knew today. Because we are being sanctified, because we are being set apart. You can't just add Jesus into your life and say, I'm all better now. I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, and I'm going to add a little bit of Jesus. I'll go to church on Sunday. I'll tell people I'm a Christian. Guys, I could tell you I'm a millionaire. It's not going to change the fact that I'm not a millionaire. I'm not even a thousandaire at this point. I get paid next Friday, so I'm a little less than a thousandaire right now. But I could say it all day. I could go out and get a really nice looking clothes and really put on the looks, as it are, and look like I'm a millionaire. And they might, wow, he looks like a millionaire. He dresses like a millionaire. He's arrogant like a millionaire. Could have all the right things, but it doesn't make me a millionaire. That's no different with Christianity. You can walk around the world, I'm a Christian. Oh, you are? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. You know, the thing that gets me, and this is, in youth ministry, this happened a lot. Young people are like, they would talk, I don't want to call it an individual artist, but young people would say, oh, this artist is Christian. I'm sorry, you said what? This artist is Christian. They were on the awards last night and said, I want to thank my Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, without getting into names of artists, I said, you realize some of the songs they have, and we went into, I'm not going to go into depth right here, right now. We don't have the time for it, but let your mind roam a little bit. What is sung about on the radio today? What is glorified on the radio today? Are men men, or are they chasing women and chasing money and chasing pleasure? Are women ladies, or are they something else? And when it's all week long, this is what I'm singing, this is what I'm doing, I want to thank my Lord Jesus Christ. You are not a bit more Christian than Satan is himself. Now, you can be. You can get saved. You can get right. You say, you can't judge, Pastor. I can't judge the individual, but I can judge their fruit. The Bible says you know a tree by its fruit. The first fruits of being a Christian are the fruits of repentance. When I'm doing something wrong, I'm not saying, yeah, I did that. I'm saying, oh my gosh, I got conviction. That's a fruit of repentance. That's a fruit that Jesus is doing something in your life. It doesn't mean I'm perfect all of a sudden, but what happens is as I walk closer to Him, I start displaying more fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Boy, it takes you a while to display patience. Some of y'all got saved and you had patience right away. Okay, you got me beat because I didn't have that for a long time. I'm still working on it. Love, joy, peace. These are the fruits. This is how you judge a tree. If I go to look at an orange tree and it has oranges on it, I'll tell you, it's an orange tree. I know you guys have heard my joke many times, but I'll tell it again anyway. I can go up to a tree and I'll tell somebody, that's a dogwood tree. How do you know? Because it's bark. I throw it out in there just to make sure everybody's awake every now and then. Somebody's back there, check please. All right, so. Yeah, we ain't getting through this message this week. I can tell you that now. But we are called to be different. You can't just put a little bit of Jesus in your life. I prayed a prayer. Hey, I go to church on Sundays. I believe in Jesus. You know what the Word of God says? You believe in Christ, good. Even the demons in hell believe and tremble. They have the fear of God in them. But they're not going to heaven. Why? Because there's no obedience. There's no sanctification. There's no set apart. There's no difference. You see, the sanctification process has to do with our growth, has to do with our development. The Word of God would not say, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling if it wasn't important to say. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, wait, I prayed a prayer. I already worked it out. No, hold on. Yes, it is as simple as faith. And no, there's not deeds you can do or working your way into God's approval. I'm not selling that because that's not biblical. But those deeds, those things we do, that's the fruit. That's the fruit of a changed life. For example, let's say in my older days I was a ladies' man. I know it's hard to believe, but I wasn't. But let's say I was a ladies' man, and I had girlfriends everywhere. But then Crystal said, you know what? Let's get married. We can hear you. At least you didn't laugh at I'm a ladies' man, you know. I often joke with my kids, I said, if it wasn't for your mom, I'd probably be living alone in an apartment somewhere right now because I don't do well with other people. So she kind of adopted me and brought me in sort of thing. But let's say I'm a ladies man. I like to go out and party and I'm chasing women and I don't even know how that works, but whatever, there it is. And then Crystal says, let's get married. So we get married and I come up and I make these vows and I feel the emotion and I'm in a church altar and I'm dressed the right way and saying the right things and might even cry a tear. Oh my goodness, what a beautiful day. And then when the day is over, the next day, hey, I'm going to go chase some women. Huh? Well, no. We're married. We did the thing. We were in the altar. We said all the words. This is solid. Death do us part. I'll be back later. I'm going to go do my thing. How many of you think I'm going to have a place to live when I get back home? You see, so many times we treat salvation that way. I prayed the prayer. I was in the altar. I felt the emotion. I did it. But then I just went back and did whatever I wanted to do. You see, the fruit of repentance doesn't mean I'm perfect. The fruit of repentance means when I try to go back to life, I can't do this. I shouldn't do this. That's the beginning of the sanctification process. That's the beginning of being set apart. That's the beginning of I don't want the old ways anymore. The old ways are bothering me. And here's the thing. When we get saved, God doesn't just take sin away automatically. Okay, I'll never sin again. Sin's still there. We talked about the first message this year. We talked about the allure of sin and how when we are tempted, Satan knows the desires of our heart and he takes those desires, the ones that are ungodly, and plays on that desire. And temptation is birthed. And then we either act on that desire that's already in us or we deny it and we become more sanctified. We become more set apart by removing ourselves from that desire. So that desire is still there. And you say, why doesn't God take that desire away? Here's why. Because when you get saved, you're now living for Christ and Christ is here and your desire to sin is here. Now you have to choose which one do you love more. Do I love my sin more? Or do I love Christ more? And I have to decide daily. That's why I work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I know there will be times when I mess up. I know there will be times when I fall. But if I want to follow after Jesus, that's when conviction sets in and I think, I shouldn't have done this. That's the fruit of repentance. That's a good place to be in. I'm not saying sin is a good place to be in. I'm saying repentance is a good place to be in because we begin to grow. See, if we never had any struggles or trials, or we never had any kind of stress or pressure against us, we wouldn't grow. We just flounder. We'd never develop. If there was never any resistance in our life. But the sin, the temptation, sometimes we fall. Sometimes Satan pulls something out of us. Sometimes we have bad days. That's the resistance. That's the resistance we overcome through Jesus Christ. That's the resistance we overcome when we come back to Him. And then there comes a day where I say, I don't want to go that path anymore. I don't want to do those things anymore. And suddenly, instead of me working on all of my hang-ups, I've got to stop doing this and stop doing this and stop doing this, I just work on Jesus. I work on my relationship with Him, and I walk so closely with Him that I don't want to do those things anymore. I don't want to chase those things anymore. You cannot just add a little bit of Jesus into your life and say, here I am, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven no matter what I do now. It doesn't work that way. I have to make Him Lord of my life. I can't just add a little bit. I've got to say, here's my life. It is yours. You are Lord. All of my life, Lord God, is yours. And there's a simple phrase, but this will remind you where you're at. If He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. If you're telling God what He can be in charge of, if you're not surrendering everything, well, Lord, you can be in charge, but I'm in charge. Well, then you're Lord because you're telling Him what He can do. If He's not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all. I have to make Him the Lord of my life. So how are we to be sanctified? I'm going to have to find a place here soon. We're about 25% into the message. Y'all don't have plans this afternoon, do you? I'm just kidding. How are we to be sanctified? 1 Peter chapter 1, I like this chapter, but 1 Peter chapter 1, we're just going to look at verse 2. How are we to be sanctified? You talk about sanctified, you talk about being different, you talk about setting apart. How do we get to that place? How do we get to that place of sanctification? It says here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, elect. And he's speaking to the people of God. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God. You know what the Word of God says about the Holy Spirit, about who He is, the revelation of who God really is on the inside? His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's what the Word of God tells us and teaches us the deep things of God. This is in Romans where Paul says, who knows the deep things of a man but the Spirit inside that man? Who knows the really deep thoughts? And in like manner, who knows the deep thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? Now, His Spirit longs to bear witness with our spirit. You know what that means? God longs for us to get into His Word and to know Him and to know the deep things of God, His personality, who He is, what He has for us, how He cares for us, how He loves us. Do you realize that's part of the sanctification process too? See, sanctification isn't all about, I can't do this, I have to do this. Sanctification is about being set apart, and I'm being set apart by the love of God. You see, let's go back to me being a ladies' man, because I got to wake y'all up a minute. And some of y'all are already laughing. Let's go back to me being a ladies' man. What made me stop being a ladies' man wasn't I had to make decisions, I had to decide. No, evidently the love of somebody changed that. The love of somebody called me over and said, no. I'm setting you apart. You're a little different now. So for the past 20-some years, I've never just been James anymore. It's been Crystal and James. I've got an extra syllable in there, two syllables in there. And she's never been Crystal. It's Crystal and James. Or some people who've known us for a long time say, Jamie, whatever. Crystal and Jamie. That's, we've never been individuals since then. We're changed. But why are we changed? Because we said some words? No, because something happened. There was this love. There was this unity. There was this growing bond. And it's still growing. If married 23 years, as my wife says, 20-something, but I know it's 23. Oh, I know she's out there. 23 years we've been married. And we're still growing. And sometimes we wake up and we argue. And sometimes we're at home and we get a bad mood. And sometimes somebody does something and, well, we just, you know, get upset with each other. Well, that's part of the sanctification process too, isn't it? Well, even the tension, even the pressure.
Come on,
I said, man, I can't wait. This fall we're going to be doing a couple of different classes, and one of them is a marriage class. I've been looking at the material already. And I'm telling you, we're going to be fairly open and honest. Some of y'all are going to come just to hear some of our stories, I'm sure of it. But let me tell you, we were about, it was over a year ago. It was right before Malachi and Asia got married. There was a series, I started to listen to the series then. I've been kind of investigating and studying this thing for a little over a year now. And this guy was talking about marriage and talking about duet and talking about these different things and what it is and how they come together. Well, then the other thing he was talking about was how he was weak in certain areas. And my wife and I, we were usually in the car at the same time, so she would call me, you listen to the radio? Yeah, I am too. Okay, we'd hang up so we could listen to the radio. And then if the lady from the wife's perspective said something and my phone rang, I was like, yes, did you hear that? Yes, I heard it, dear. And vice versa. If the guy said something, I was like, you caught that, didn't you? Yes, I caught that. And there's things that I don't do well. My father's a great man, but my father is not this emotional guy. You will never, in my life, I've seen my dad go through funerals. I've never seen a tear in my dad's eye. And it's not that he doesn't love. It's just how he is. He's not cold. He's always been very caring. But he's not the guy that's going to come up to you and, you know, have that overly emotional. Now, he's done that throughout the years. As grandchildren come along, I've noticed he's really learned how to do that throughout the years, which is good. But I told my wife, I said, sometimes I'm kind of like that. You know, our love languages are different. I speak this way. You know, I try and do stuff around the house and work extra hours and do whatever I can. That's how I say, I love you, dear. And she says, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I mean, that's her words of affirmation. That's her thing. And so for a while, we were speaking two different languages. And so when I would come home and do work, I was saying, I love you, dear. And she was looking at me and hearing, you don't think I clean good enough? No. I said, I love you. I don't clean good enough. No, that's not what. And we were speaking two different languages, and it was coming out. But we learned. And so getting back to the story here, we were listening to this husband and wife talking, and she was talking about how her husband was very not good at showing emotion. She said, ladies, we get upset about this. We get frustrated. But I had to teach him. I had to teach him what I needed before he could learn how to do it. And so while we're listening to it, I called Crystal. I was like, I'm looking forward to these lessons that you're going to be teaching me. And she kind of laughed. And, you know, and it's, we've always had open dialogue with our kids. We got this group chat with our whole family. Asia's included in it as well. And, you know, we said something the other day and we started dialoguing and first year of marriage, you know, Asia and Malachi, every now and then they're like, oh my gosh, but they always work it out, as we know they will. But then I had said something. I said, you know, sometimes we operate differently. We work differently. I said, and my wife's going to teach me certain things. And she's like, I'm looking forward to teaching. I said, I'm looking forward to learning. And then my kids are like, you're embarrassing us, guys. Stop, you know. But here's the thing. That's the sanctification process of our marriage. I'm learning how to be a better husband. She's learning, you know, how to be a better wife to me. We're learning how to be a better couple. The sanctification of my faith, of my salvation, is the same thing. I'm learning to follow Jesus more. I'm learning what it is He expects of me. I'm learning how to be a better representative, a better ambassador, a better witness, have a better life that people can look at for Jesus Christ. That's the sanctification process. It's not always pleasant and, you know, going to the salon. When you hear sanctification, don't think about going to the salon and getting, you know, all prettied up. It's more like going to the gym and getting sweaty. You know what I'm saying? It requires work. It's not always pleasant. There are salon days, don't get me wrong. There are days where it's just beautiful. But it's being set apart little by little, growing, developing. Sanctification is not something you can rush. Sanctification is a whole life process. I'm not going to wake up next year and say, hey, church, I'm sanctified. I'm there. You know, yes, we are already sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You are already set apart. But there's still a process. You're still growing. You're still developing. Don't ever stop growing. Don't ever stop developing. Keep moving forward. See, the way we are sanctified, the way we are set apart is the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit that now dwells in us, teaching us the things of God, instructing us, giving us a new life, a new identity, a new hope, and a new future. We are sanctified from the inside out, not vice versa. I'm going to go ahead and end with this, and we'll get back into it next week. We're sanctified from the inside out. Like I told you a minute ago, I could dress up and tell you I'm a millionaire, have a fancy car and whatever. Doesn't make it true. I can say all the appropriate phrases, go to church on Sunday, volunteer here and there. That doesn't make me a Christian. That just means I'm doing stuff. Being sanctified is quite different. Being set apart by God. You see, sometimes when I'm a Christian, I'm not doing the right thing all the time. Sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I fall down. But the Word of God says, though you fall, you are not utterly cast out. You know what that means? When you fall down in sin, Jesus doesn't say, all right, that's it, I'm throwing you away. You might fall, but you're not cast out. You fell. Get back up. Part of the sanctification process, part of being sanctified. Christianity is not a one-day-a-week religion. It's a lifestyle. And it's one made to distinguish the individual as different, as peculiar, as unique, as set apart, as holy. And the way you get there is by daily reading, daily praying, daily growing. Oh, that sounds like a list of chores. No, no. You know the way the marriage grows is by daily communicating, daily intimacy, daily feeding into the marriage. Does that sound like a bad time to you? Spending time in the Word of God is not a chore. Spending time in prayer is not oppression. You get the opportunity to talk to God Almighty. You don't have to speak eloquently. You just have to speak. You can talk to Him while you're driving down the road. Did you know that? You really can. You can talk to Him while you're sitting in your home. You know, yes, we should have great times of isolation and prayer before God where it's just, you know, just a wonderful time. But that doesn't mean I can only pray to God when the room is dimly lit and worship music is playing and I'm in just, those are great times of prayer, absolutely. But other great times of prayer are, Lord, I just need to talk to You. Lord, I just want to thank You. Lord, I'm in this, whatever it may be. But daily praying, daily getting in the Word. Don't neglect this. This is literally words inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by men as the Holy Spirit led them, as the Holy Spirit directed them, as the Holy Spirit gave the inspiration. Why? Because it's a revelation of who God is, but even more, it's a revelation of who you are. That's in here. Who you are is in this book. That's the sanctification process. Daily growing, daily praying, daily reading. That's the key to the sanctification process. We're going to pick up this thought again next week. But I want you to meditate on this. I want you to think on this. Get into the Word of God and begin to ask Him, Lord, what does it mean to be sanctified? Where am I at on my path? See, if you've come to Christ, you're already set apart. You're already sanctified. You're already made holy because of Jesus Christ and what He's done. You've already entered that relationship. You're in covenant. Just like I was talking about the marriage relationship. 23 years in or 23 minutes in. You're in covenant at 23 minutes. You're in covenant when you make that. You're in that relationship, but then that relationship grows. You are in covenant. You are in relationship with Jesus Christ, but let that relationship grow. It brings the sanctification process. It brings the transformation. It changes who you are into who you could be. And that's what God has for us. Let's pray.